One game this week, the home win over Swindon. Tom Mayall spent the majority of the game questioning his wisdom backing Crewe in the last man standing competition, but we got there in the end. Pete wants to see us putting teams like that to the sword. It should have been a very comfortable afternoon. Joe thinks the attack is still getting its rhythm back, but we didn't give them much. It was an unlucky goal to concede. Joe C saw a team there for the taking in the first 20 minutes, but they dug in and made us work for it. A deserved win. James thought we stooped to their poor level, adding CBR was offside for the winner, but Austin handballed his goal, so it all evens out. Stuart Grimley has no problem with 3 points and winning ugly. We worked hard, just a little jaded. Colin Higginson thought it was hard work against the poor Swindon team, but 3 points is 3 points. Adam saw a team who know how to get a result. Long was onside for at least one of them, but what a team to get the job done. Robert saw a top team performance. JR thinks that players returning allow us to make some tweaks in game, meaning we have different ways to win. Shedview thinks returning players means it's all aboard the promotion train. Chris Thompson thought we should have been out of sight. Two great goals. What a player Nev is becoming. Chris Mason agreeing, Nev is class. We made hard work of it, but great result. Andy O'Neill picks out Rowe, asking how good is he becoming, and thinks Offord in midfield is a thing of beauty. Andrew Napper describes Offord as mustard, and he asks, how good was Billington? Alex labels Billington as excellent, Mickey superb, and Offord Rio O'Rourdan as very good too, adding that Never ran miles today. Graham Miles says that nobody would get below 7 out of 10 if he was scoring the players. He's hoping for 4 points from the next 2 away days. Gresty Roadender says everyone is doing their bit, carrying nobody, which doesn't half help. Bob lost his weekly, what minute will Thomas get booked, competition with his boy, but loves how the players have trust and freedom to move around the pitch, covering for one another. Trevor Griffiths says 3 points in the bag, on to Barrow in better shape than before Christmas. Hello, welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. We've just got the one game this week, a welcome 3 points that go along with it. To go through the win over Swindon, our panel today is James Tate. Hello, James.
Hello, everyone.
Tom Correll. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, all.
And Henry Lewis. Hello, Henry.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Stu. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Right, James, I'm going to start with you. Before the game, we had a welcome sign-in, someone coming in midfield, Lewis Lee. Now, I'm sure you're like me, don't know too much about him, but from what I'd seen from Romney fans online, a few clips, a few stats, it seemed like a good sign-in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you said, I think the first thing we do is sort of go on Twitter, see what Romney fans think of him, see what some Preston fans think of him. From what I read, he's a sort of combative, energetic midfielder who's also got an eye for a pass, which is what we saw in those clips as well, which is exactly what we need, really. And, you know, with the injuries we've got, even with players coming back, having that flexibility and that option is obviously a great asset. And, you know, looking forward, if, you know, we lose Conor O'Riordan, Joe White doesn't return, you know, it just gives us that added bit of flexibility. So, yeah, I was pleased with that signing, yeah.
Tom, it was a welcome body in midfield, something we've been a bit lacking of recently.
Yeah, it was the best bench yesterday we'd had for quite a while, wasn't it? There was only, I think, one sort of youth player on there, which was Kempster Down, but we actually had options off the bench this week to sort of change the game, rotate anyone that we needed to. And, yeah, hopefully that bodes well now, moving through towards the rest of the season, that we've actually got a bit of depth.
Yeah, Henry, let's talk about that team then. There was one change from the win at Mansfield. That was Nevitt coming in for CBR. I said last week that on the podcast that CBR is an interesting one because he absolutely runs his socks off. He gives everything for the team, but he just doesn't look like scoring. As a striker, you sort of need that as a player. So whilst I agree with Nevitt having a run out, I also felt it was a bit harsh on CBR being dropped. I don't know what your thoughts were.
It was a bit harsh because CBR has worked really, really hard, and he always does. But Nevitt also does work extremely hard, and more often than not, his hard work ends up with a goal. CBR, I think he's really good at a chance landing at his feet and he tucks it away, whereas I think Nevitt's hard work really, really results in a goal. You know, it's been a busy few weeks. There's been a lot of matches. We've got the strikers there. Long's obviously in really good form. Why not give Nevitt a go to really get stuck into their centre backs and, you know, and get busy and see how they fare? Because the guy who came on from the Swindon podcast last weekend was saying, you know, they ship a lot of goals, they're a bit leaky at the back. So Nevitt did seem like a good choice. And also, it's good to know then that you have got CBR to come off the bench and make the difference later on in the game.
Is this the way you'd play it, James, now? Would you sort of rotate the two of them, keep them fresh, keep one coming off the bench to really sort of go at defenders as and when they need to, but rotating who starts?
I think you've got to, really. I was a little bit surprised when the teams came out. Obviously, everything Henry's just said, but when the teams lined up, I thought Swindon looked like quite a really small side in terms of height. And I thought that was perhaps something we could have got at a little bit better if CBR was on the pitch. But completely understand why Nevitt was chosen. And it turned out that it paid off. But yeah, going forward, I think if everyone's fit, or CBR, Nevitt, Long, Tracy, Rowe, if they're all fit, I think we need to pick a system, stick to a system, and I think alternating is probably the way to go. We've seen that Nevitt's attitude is excellent, whether he's on the bench or starting. CBR, we know, is hungry to play, which is a good thing. So, yeah, I think there's a balance to find, but it's completely feasible that we can alternate them both. Judge it on the opposition that we've got, even if we're playing home and away. Yeah, but I do think Nevitt appears to be more effective off the bench. So that would probably play into my thinking a little bit more, but I'd be happy to alternate going forward, yes.
All right, I feel like we're going to come back to both of those two players as the pod goes on. Tom, let's get to the game itself. I don't know about you, but I thought that was one of the best opening 20 minutes Crewe have played in a game this season so far.
They came flying out of the block. Looked like they had a week off as well. And they were just pressing Swindon so high up the pitch. You know, none of their players got a minute on the ball whenever they had it. They were putting them under pressure and then also trying to spring counter-attacks from when they'd actually won the ball off them. Joe White probably should have done better with his opening chance, really, after about 5 or 10 minutes. He got on his favoured left foot and then sort of almost sliced it, didn't really catch it and didn't get the bend he needed to put it in the corner. It was actually quite a similar position to where he scored from last week at Mansfield. And yeah, I'd be disappointed he didn't do better. But yeah, I think that the early goal was well-deserved. And to be honest, after that, we probably should have gone and got at least one more while we were on top. But then, don't want to jump too far ahead, but I think we sort of faded as the half went on, really.
I'd agree. I kind of felt a bit disappointed in some ways that we didn't make more of those really early chances count, because obviously, yeah, there's been a lot of talk about Joe White and how well he's been playing, the goal that he scored last weekend. And when he raced through after 2 minutes, he cut inside. You really thought that he was going to score that goal, and to see it go wide was a bit of a disappointment. It was kind of like, am I being selfish and expecting White to tuck that away at that moment in the game? Obviously, there was the offside goal from Long. I think Rowe went through, made the wrong decision where he maybe could have passed it to Long as well. And I think a corner went across. I think O'Riordan could have easily headed it in, or it seemed like it. So after, even before we scored the goal, we could have been two goals up at least. So it was so good to see us come out, so much energy, really push them. And it was, the only disappointing thing was we didn't really make it count enough.
Yeah, we keep saying the way we're playing, someone at some point is going to get a battering. And the way we started in the first couple of minutes yesterday, I think that is today. But it just didn't pan out that way, did it? And it could have been like the Newport game where we just end up conceding and it goes to pot. But yeah, it was an impressive start. and a calm start as well. I thought Swindon sort of let us play a bit.
One thing that they've done well this season is they seem to have come out of the traps really quickly against a lot of teams and got the early goal. Whereas something we've criticised Crewe for in the past has been they don't start till they go 1-0 behind, or they don't start till 30 minutes. But this season, it's almost been the opposite, and they've come out and they've almost taken teams by surprise. And I think they probably did that at Mansfield last week, and they probably did that again yesterday against Swindon, really. And if you can get that early goal, then and if you've got a defence like that we have, and those players that we've got defensively, like Offord and Thomas in midfield as well, you'll always back yourself to potentially keep a clean sheet as well.
Talking about the early goal, we obviously did score a legitimate one after 13 minutes. But James, I don't know what your view is like in your seat, but from my view on the opposite side of the pitch with the cameras, I don't think Chris Long was offside.
It's a tough one. Where I'm sitting, I'm further towards the other end of the pitch, so I didn't have a great view. I thought it would be tight. It was the first. I mean, the first thing I did was look towards the linesman because I thought it's probably off. But yeah, I wasn't 100% sure. No one around me seemed to be questioning it. To be fair, I don't think there was too many grumbles. But I don't know if the other guys saw it differently.
I didn't have a good enough view, to be honest. It definitely felt like I was kind of sat there thinking, surely he would have stayed on at that point, because it felt like there was plenty of time for the ball to be played, and he seemed like he'd absolutely perfected it. But you just don't know, do you? It's so difficult. And, you know, without talking too much, even the goal later on, it could easily have been offside. The margins are so, so fine. And in League Two, with the officiating that we've seen, you just don't really know whether it is, do you?
All right, I'm going to say it was onside, and you know, because I haven't been proven wrong. Tom, I'm going to give you first dibs to talk about what does happen in the 13th minute. I've been asking for Aaron Rowe to give us more in terms of output. You can't really question the cross, but that wasn't the big talking point of that goal, was it, really?
Well, it was an unbelievable finish from Neve. I mean, I think he nearly broke the net. He hit it that hard. And to get that power and that technique on it from sort of the angle he was coming at it from was really something special, I think, that goal yesterday. It was a good build-up play. I think Dimitriou switched it from sort of the left centre-back position. I think White got a slight flick on to Rowe. He couldn't cross it at that point because the man was marking him. Billington did well to overlap then, which created the space for him to play it back to Rowe. And I think what Rowe did quite well, actually, was he crossed it first time. I think if he'd taken a touch and sort of weighed it up, the defenders would have had a chance to get into position. Because he hit it first time, the defenders were still on the back foot, and it allowed Nevitt to grab that half a yard to sort of run onto it and spin. And then, yeah, what a finish on the turn. You know, I think it looks a really natural finisher in those kind of goals, Nevitt. Like, you look at the one he scored at home against Accrington, was it, in the last minute as well? And some of the goals are absolutely superb finishes, and above League Two level, those kind of goals, definitely.
So it's amazing what confidence can do, isn't it? If he hit that shot this time last season, it ends up hitting the 10 past three train to London Euston. It's amazing, the turnaround, isn't it? And, you know, couldn't be happier for him. I was just going to give credit to Lewis Billington on this one, because the movement up that wing is what creates this goal for me and creates the space for Rowe to get the cross in. And obviously Nev's first to it and hungry to get to it. So big credit to Billo again from me.
I was sat there criticising Rowe for that cross, you know, at first. It went over and I was like, oh, he's underhit that big time. And then next minute, Nevitt's just absolutely walloped it. So I had to take that back immediately from Rowe. I can't even tell, though, watching it back, did he underhit it, or did he absolutely mean to put it there behind him so he's kind of got the room and the space to hit it in the back of the net? It was a beautiful move, it really was. Like, one and two touch football. Everything that we love to see, you know, a great switch from Mickey. It was a really good goal, and it's obviously gone out on socials. Yeah, I've watched it about 50 times already this morning. It's such a satisfying goal to watch.
I want to talk about Lewis Billington briefly, but first I'm going to commend you, James. That superb comment just then, the 3:10 to London Euston. You got the time right. You got the direction of the train travel right. Tim Robinson, that's how you tell a joke. It's nothing about these puns that you wait for. That was superb, James. Can I go back, though, James, to Lewis Billington? He plays a part in both goals. I know we're sort of jumping ahead to the second half, but his one for the second half is more of a contribution. It's him that puts the cross in for Thomas. But I just think he's just come on leaps and bounds in such a small time scale. He's looking really good at the minute, isn't he?
Absolutely. It's pretty incredible, really. I'm trying to think of other examples of academy products who have come in and integrated so easily and so quickly, and I'm
I
struggling to think
think
of anyone
maybe
who's done.
Luke Offord in that promotion year, but
Yeah.
maybe the last one.
Yeah, but apart from that, there's not too many examples of doing it better than that. And he's just become a regular without even thinking about it, and you've got confidence in him. I never worry about him. There's parts of his play now that sort of take me back to Perry Ng, but when Perry Ng was not initially in the team, when he was a year or two on, he's sort of taking the ball with confidence, opening his body up down the line and cutting inside, dropping a shoulder. So he's got confidence, and yeah, it's an amazing achievement, really. And we need to get him tied down to a longer contract.
I think the Perry comparison is a really, really good one. I think he even got a similar build to him, really. And like you say, the way that he gets forward. I think he's at the moment he's everyone's favourite player, isn't he, Billington? He's come in and he got thrown in at the deep end, it seems to me, I think against Derby. And he defended so well in that game. Obviously, it was disappointing that we conceded those late goals, but he did so well in what was a big game for him. And since then, he's just looked brilliant. And you see his name in the team now, and you feel happy. You feel like he's going to do a good job. He's reliable already, and it is incredible. It's so good to see, and it does. It just adds to what we love about Crewe, isn't it? It's just another player of our own that's come through. He's made that position his own. It's meant that Rio can come out to the left-hand side as well. And all in all, it's just adding to what makes Crewe Alex such a good team when they are as good as they can be.
Another excellent defender off the academy ranks. We seem to be, pushing them out every season at the minute.
Tom, do you think he is the, I say long term, there's not really anything long term with Crewe players. They do a couple of years and then they move on. Is he the solution to Conor O'Riordan if and when that deal finally happens? Is that where you see him playing?
I think it will be interesting to see what they do if O'Riordan goes, because they're playing four at the back at the moment, so they've got the option of dropping Offord back into centre half again, and playing keeping Billington at right back and playing like they did yesterday, with hopefully the likes of Tabner coming back to fitness. They'll have more midfield options and might move Offord back and just leave Billington where he is because he's been playing so well. Obviously, if you wanted to say stick with what they're doing and keep Offord in midfield, then I wouldn't have any hesitation in putting Billington at centre half because he's got the height. Obviously, technically he's great, he's good on the ball. Maybe it might be a little bit early for him at centre half yet. I don't know if he's seen more as a full back by Bell and Dicker. I'm not sure. He seems to have played at full back mainly when he's played, but I wouldn't move him though because he seems to be playing so well there. I wouldn't rush to move him just yet. I'd look at say if it coincides with someone coming back fit in midfield, I'd be more inclined maybe to move Offord back to centre half, but we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, absolutely outstanding yesterday. I think he was my man of the match yesterday, really, I think.
I definitely agree with that. I think he deserved it, and I think he was really unlucky to not get man of the match yesterday, definitely.
Yeah, certainly up there. Henry, I'll come to you for the second Chris Long goal. I think this one, I was more happy to accept that linesman got this one right.
Yeah, and it was disappointing really because Offord had managed to kind of break away. It was a good opportunity to get the ball over. Long was there and you just saw it fully unfolding. You knew he was going to be offside. And it would have felt right that we'd score two goals at that point to sort of make the pressure that we'd created count. But yeah, that one was definitely offside. It was.
And then James, we talked about how Crewe had a good first 20 minutes. Swindon equalised after 30 minutes. I didn't feel the goal was coming, but we definitely let them back into it. And then obviously, Charlie Austin gets the goal and it's all square. It's quite a sloppy goal to concede, wasn't it?
It is sloppy, and like you say, it did stagnate a little bit. We dropped off a little bit, weren't quite as effective going forward. Yeah, it comes down there, right? Whether Rio should get tighter or not, perhaps. It's not catastrophic from Rio, but perhaps he should get tighter. The cross comes in, and then Mickey makes a bit of a mess of it. But we'll forgive this because we know how good he's been. But he does make a mess of it. And unfortunately, it falls to Charlie Austin and not a past Sambu and it ends up in the back of the net. So yeah, it was sloppy and messy and we didn't see it coming, but at the same time, we didn't capitalize on our chances. So you could actually see it coming back to bite, and it did.
It was just so typical of the goals that we concede. We've not made the pressure count. A ball's come over into the box, it's bobbled about, maybe a handball, it's fallen to a striker, and he's just sort of poked it in. And for me, it was the fact that the GRE had started seeing Swindon get battered, and we were only 1-0 up, and I was thinking, oh, we need a few more goals before we can start singing that, because we know how easily we can concede. Obviously, that's wound Austin up. I don't know if that's why he celebrated the way that he did, just because of that. I don't know if there have been some personal attacks at him, but at that point in the match, it seemed like a bit of an overreaction on his part to celebrate the way that he did. I think, if he's been goaded, fair enough, but I think it was like the 30th minute. It seemed a bit unnecessary to me with so much more of the match still to go. It was a bit of a wild one, really.
Yeah, it did seem a bit of an overreaction. And obviously, this is before the incident with him and Connor Thomas. Tom, I've seen a lot of people talk about handball. I'll give you my opinion and then you can tell me if you agree or disagree. I don't really think it is. I think it bobbles up and his arm's just there and it hits it. And I say this fully in the knowledge that I know that Crewe win and get the 3 points. But I'd much rather have Crewe concede a goal like that than have 15 minutes of VAR checking to see if that's handball and having it possibly ruled out. I don't know how you feel about that.
I didn't think there was any handball involved when I was watching it live. That didn't even cross my mind that there was a handball involved in it. It was unlucky, I think, the goal really. I think it was a Reardon marking him, and I think he did well to sort of block the cross, and then it was just an unlucky ricochet, really. I don't think they beat us with anything special. I mean, you could say, as I say, Adebisi could have stopped the cross, but to be fair to Adebisi, that the number 20 out on the right wing must have had about 10, 12 runs out in the entire game, and that might be the only time he actually got a cross in. So I think Adebisi did really well because they were strong on the right hand side. The right back was also good, I thought. 22, they were both quick, and were giving them problems. And probably Adebisi doesn't always get the help he probably needs off long there either. I think it was just more unlucky than anything else. It sort of fell to Austin so nicely, but didn't see a handball and didn't think it was one though.
I think you make a really good point there because at that point in the match where, half an hour had gone by and they were starting to tire a little bit, as soon as the ball had gone past either Rowe or Long, there seemed to be so much space for their defenders, for their attackers, sorry, to push forward at our defenders. Rio looked quite exposed against the 28, I think it was, Tyree Shade. He gave him the runaround for a lot of the game. And as the game wore on, those attackers were just getting isolated, and all of a sudden they were really up against us.
Right, let's stick with Charlie Austin. It wasn't too long after his goal where I don't know, is the judo throw an appropriate way of describing what happens to Connor Thomas on the Swindon byline, James?
I think that's fair. Again, it's quite a long way from where I sit, but it just seems so unnecessary. If even if he's giving him a little nudge or a little push, it's just so unnecessary. And yeah, what a way to cement yourself as a shithouse than do that. And then what I didn't like about it was the Swindon fans when they were sarcastically cheering when Thomas eventually sort of came round and got to his feet. I didn't like that at all. I'm sure some Crewe fans were guilty of that with opposition players, but it's not a side of the game that's nice, is it? But yeah, it wasn't great from Charlie Austin, was it?
No, I don't know what's up with Charlie Austin exactly. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder, like the celebration, then throwing Thomas around, and you think no one particularly had anything to wind him up, but he seemed to just have a chip on his shoulder yesterday. That whether because he's playing League Two now, and he's a bit pissed off about that. I'm not quite sure, but he just seemed in a bit of a mood yesterday, and like he had a point to prove to someone, and he was almost playing for himself. That look at me, I'm Charlie Austin type sort of behaviour.
I don't know. So I did something unusual yesterday. I watched the game with a Swindon fan. I've never watched Crewe play against someone where the person I've been with is actively supporting the other team. And my friend Jenny is a Swindon fan, and she said her dad had told her Charlie Austin is a bit like that. He can run around for 30 minutes and he gets a bit moody and tired. And that's essentially his style of play these days. So maybe that's what it is. He just didn't have the energy to chase Thomas around, so he decided to try and do something about it. I'm not sure. Right, we'll go into the second half then. before the second goal, Joe White went off. Henry, I didn't think this was Joe White's best game for Crewe, but the reception that he got was quite loud, and I felt that was definitely an appreciation of we might not see you again. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, I was quite gutted for him, to be honest, because, apart from that early chance that I mentioned before, after that, I don't know whether it rocked his confidence because I don't think it would really, but he seemed to be trying too hard then to kind of make up for that. And he was sort of doing the same thing of cutting inside on his left foot, and they kind of worked out that that was what was going to happen. It wasn't really affecting the game in the way that we'd like to see him do it, but also, he really did re deserve that applause and the reception that he got because he's been great for us. And the goal that he scored last weekend against Manfield was so important and could prove to be so important for us for our season. So, we have to thank him for that. And it was good that he got that reception. Hopefully, we can get it sorted out with Newcastle. Obviously, it's really well documented how many injuries they've got, especially in midfield. So that statement that came out the other day that Bell had said, that we've been speaking to them, and it was kind of fairly positive what he said. I just can't read that and even slightly think that he'll rejoin us for the second half of the season. In my head, he's gone. We need to, utilize Lee that's just come in. Hopefully, Tabernacle will be back at some point soon, and just accept that, he's done a really good half a season for us, and then that's kind of that. And if he does rejoin, then what a bonus that'll be for us.
Yeah, I think I've been, and we've all been supporting Crewe long enough to know that nothing's done until it's done, and the ball's not in our court to fix it. It's up to Newcastle now. James, just really quickly, a quick note. That reception for Joe White going off, and then Charlie Austin doing what Charlie Austin did, it sounded quite a good atmosphere at Gresty Road yesterday. Even the crowd in the in the main stand, it sounded like they got going a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was a good atmosphere for mid-January. The attendance was good, really, and yeah, it was a good atmosphere. At times, the game did stagnate, which didn't help. We didn't get a lot of sort of vocal support from Swindon, so that didn't help either. But it was a decent atmosphere. The GRE was going well all game, and the main stand did indeed start a chant in the second half, which was pretty outstanding to witness, so I enjoyed that. It was a good game and a good atmosphere, and I think the crowd sort of saw Swindon there for the taking, and knew that the team needed that support, and that's what they did.
The game did kind of dip after they scored, sort of from the 30th minute onwards. The quality seemed to drop somewhat, and I think it did really take the crowd kind of whipping the game back up again in the second half, because there was a few dirty tackles going in, obviously after what Austin did, and it looked like there could be a red card, come the end of the first half. It looked like it could get quite tasty and boil over. That didn't really happen second half. It kind of just sort of stayed at a level, really, and the crowd behind the goal were great yesterday. It was probably one of the best that I've seen all season, really. It seems like whatever issues they've had in the kind of the difficulty, I think that it's still so difficult for people to get tickets, or it seemed difficult for people to get tickets in terms of it's got to be done at a certain time, not online or whatever. I can't really remember what it is, but if any of that's been relaxed, and it means that more people are behind the goal making noise, and obviously that can only but be a good thing. And it was really good to see that yesterday, because it is such a bad part of the season. It just seemed so unnecessary. We were going so well, and we need it. We need people behind the goal singing, and it was a really good part of the win yesterday. And you felt like the GRE could do what the GRE does, and that's bring a goal and a bit of chaos in the second half.
Tom, I'm going to come to you. It's something we touched on right at the start of this discussion, substitutions. It's nice to be able to, when you need a goal, to look to your bench and see CBR and Shiloh Tracy there warming up, ready to go, isn't it?
Yeah, the way the second half was going, you were thinking if the team's going to score, it's probably actually going to be Swindon. The way it started in the second half, I think they had that chance where they broke through and Booth made a really good stop, and that was probably the best chance of the second half, really, up to when we scored. And we didn't really have control of the game, to be honest. They had more of the ball. We weren't getting hold of it. It was sort of being lumped forward, wasn't really going anywhere. And Bello obviously realised he needed to make a change. It looked like as well that he changed systems when they made that sub. They'd sort of gone to a 3-5-2. It looked like Shiloh had gone to right wing back and Adebisi gone to left wing back. And within it must have been what a minute, maybe 2 minutes maximum. Obviously, we got the goal. And you know, Connor Thomas had a nosebleed, I think, where he ended up in the box there. It was good to see him getting forward because he is effective sometimes when he gets in those positions. And he has scored a couple when he's got in those positions before. Obviously, great, as you mentioned, great ball from Billington into him. A nice little chest from Thomas and sort of spin. But when it dropped to Baker Richardson, my first thought was he was offside. I don't know if that was anyone else's first thought from where I was sat, and I thought he's offside. He must be offside. No one seemed to move. Swindon didn't seem to appeal, and I thought, oh, great. But I don't. I'd love to see that one back again in terms of along the line because it looked pretty close from when Thomas shot and when it ended up at his feet.
Yeah, I think it was only one Swindon player really appealed for the offside, which I was a bit surprised about. I think if it's Premier League and it's VAR, it's offside, but we'll take the benefit of League Two non-VAR on this one. It's very tight, wasn't it?
I did a very sad thing, I must admit, because I wanted to know. So I did try and sort of freeze the video. So the guy who's kind of the defender who's sort of shielding Thomas as he's turning to kind of hit it, he sticks his back leg out behind him to sort of balance. I think that back leg is just about keeping Courtney onside. I think that's what I kind of got from my research yesterday. So I think we're just about all right on that one. But I was convinced it was off. I was like, how on earth can he be on stood there? But he also looked like he'd lost the ball in sort of the way that Courtney can do sometimes. The ball sort of deflects off him, but he always had it and then just made that quite difficult finish look very easy, just buried it in the bottom corner. As per usual, that Gresty Road end is just treated to another crazy second half winner that's kind of come out of nowhere really. So yeah, it was great to see once again.
Halfway through, I was going to say to Henry, who needs VAR when we've got Henry rewinding and checking the frames?
Do you know what? It's so
So
unlike me as well. It's so unlike me. I'd never normally do that, but I just thought, for the benefit of my own mind, I needed to have a look.
for the benefit of all the
That.
podcast listeners, Henry is
Yeah.
pointing us towards a big flat screen TV in his room. He's got the screenshot there. He's drawn the lines on, and we can see that he's well on. So no
Yeah,
problem.
unfortunately, he's drawn him in permanent marker, and that's his TV screen now. I didn't go into that detail, Henry, but I did watch the goal back, and you can normally tell with the players, they don't really look like they think it's offside. You can see Connor Thomas has a quick look to the linesman, sees everything's fine, and then runs off to celebrate. So I'm going to say, from my viewpoint of however thousands of miles away I am, confident that he was onside. And James, he needed it, I think. I had a little look. He hasn't scored since the end of November, that worldie he scored down at Sutton. He just needed something. I think I said last week, he needs it to go off his backside. When he does score, it doesn't go off his backside, but he's facing the wrong way. So, it's something.
Yeah, he massively needed it, and even if he is offside, he deserves that little slice of luck because yeah, he really needed it. And what's he on now? Nine for the season? Eight or nine? Eight, which is a good return from him. Having him long and never all firing is massive for us, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a little look this
Yeah.
morning actually. Long's on nine, Baker Richardson's on eight, and Nevitt's on seven, which for three strikers, you can't really complain about that output in League Two. Tom Lewis Lee, we mentioned him. He was signed before the game. He got on about 84 minutes gone, so with injury time, he's on the pitch about 12 minutes. How did you think he got on?
He didn't have a lot to do probably in the time that he was on. Obviously, the job was sort of see out the lead, wasn't it? And he seemed to harry about a bit and made a couple of blocks and interceptions and a few tackles. And yeah, looked like he had plenty of energy. And I think one of the things for me was that he got on over Colquitt. He'd come in on loan on Wednesday. Obviously, Colquitt was back on the bench as well. And they want to put a lad in who they've only seen for 2 days in training over a lad they've had there for 18 months. So I think Colquitt's days are well and truly numbered, I think.
Yeah, well, I think we might have a little chat about that once we've sort of wrapped up. But yeah, I don't think it looks like he's got a particularly long future with Crewe, maybe another 6 months or so. James, were you worried getting to the end of the stage of the game? There was one, I think, that ballooned off its shin or thigh and sort of touched the top of the crossbar. It felt close to me watching it. I don't know how it felt to you.
Yeah, I don't know if it grazed the top of the crossbar. But yeah, it was a bit worrying when they brought Hepburn Murphy on. He brought a bit of pace and he was finding a bit of space. So yeah, I was a little bit concerned they did come into it again. But you know, as we have done across the season, I've sort of got quite a bit of confidence now in the lads at the back that, you know, we can see this out. And we did, you know, looking back on seasons gone by, I don't feel anywhere near as stressed as I have done in previous seasons, which is good for me. So yeah, they did come into it and they were in the game, but I wasn't that worried.
I think after the goal, that was not the stuffing out of Swindon. Then they didn't really do anything after we scored the second goal. I don't think there was, you know, a couple of moments where they, you know, could have maybe done better with a couple of positions they had, but I didn't feel at any point they were going to go and equalise. I don't think Booth had anything to do really in the latter half of the game, and I think that's probably why Truro are where they are and Swindon are where they are. I don't think there was a lot between the teams in the second half, but we just had that bit of quality to go and score the second goal, and they had no answer for it.
It was quite typical though, that obviously just after we'd scored, they kind of went up the other end and all of a sudden had a free kick right on the edge of our box. And it's like, I think it's 78th minute, and just thinking we just cannot have, you know, even 5 minutes where we can kind of try and compose ourselves after a goal and have the ball. All of a sudden, you know, we face a free kick. Luckily, nothing came of it. You know, it went into the wall, didn't it? And you're right with what you're saying. In open play, they didn't really create that many chances, and quite often, once we've conceded a goal, you know, we'll go through a period where we're really under the cosh, that and they're really taking it to us. And I don't think that really happened with Swindon. It looked like any sort of a goal from them would come from a corner or, you know, a ball into the box where we know that we can be troubled, really.
Tom, I'm going to come to you. A couple of weeks ago, we played Newport and we got a draw. And it was the first point we got in three games, I think. And it looked like we were having a bad spell. If we keep that draw over the last four games, we've obviously played four games and we've ended up with 10 points. Suddenly, that draw is part of a really good run of form we're on. And it's starting to look like we can look up again instead of down. I don't know if that's something you'd agree with.
Massively, I think we've turned the tide from where we were probably after the Barrow game. Poor December, threadbare squad, and now suddenly we're top of the form table in the last four games, taking 10 points from 12. We've suddenly got a bench again with some depth on it. We look like we're maybe making one or two more signings in January, and you know we have got a tough game next week at Barrow, but if we can get a good result to finish off like the next couple of weeks, then you'd have to say really we need to start seriously considering the playoffs. At that point, with it was 7 points or 8 points now clear of eighth place, as well. So it couldn't have got any better, really, I don't think, for Bell since then. I mean, we've had to really grind some of the results out, I think, with a lot of grit, determination, character, not things that you'd associate with a Kowalik team. But I also think with Crewe, we're a second half of the season team normally. We don't like the first half of the season. We're never very good, it seems like, until after January. And that happened last season where we were 18th or 17th or something by January. And then obviously we were on that pretty good run towards the end of the season to finish where we did 12th, 13th. And if we can do that again this year, then there's no reason why we can't at least be targeting the playoffs now and potentially even looking to sneak in behind, you know, Stockport or Wrexham.
I think Bell deserves so much credit, doesn't he? And he changed the goalkeeper, didn't he? And that has been such an important thing that needed to happen after the Accrington game, I think it was, where Davis made a couple of mistakes and Booth's come in, and then we've played against Bradford, Mansfield, and Swindon and conceded one goal in those three games. That's obviously been huge for our turnaround in form, and we've started this year with results that surely no one would have expected. I know I certainly didn't think that we'd have picked up, you know, na 9 from 9 in the three games that we've had since the new year. So Bell deserves so much credit for what he's done for this team. He really does.
Yeah, it's enhancing his reputation in the game as well. You know, he's been saying or he was saying a month ago, you know, we will bounce back, and we have, which, you know, only builds confidence and instills confidence in him. So yeah, can't give Bell and the management team enough credit.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. I concur to that. I would just add as well, at the moment, Tom, you were saying we should be looking at playoffs. I think we should already be looking at playoffs. I like to be as optimistic as possible. I would say Stockport 7 points ahead of us. They're top. That's probably unrealistic for us to overhaul that. But we are 6 points off eighth place, so and only three off third place. That's my aim, I think. If we can catch one of Mansfield, Wrexham, or Stockport and overhaul them, then let's go for that. That's the aim for me. But it's all superb. No one expected us to be halfway through January and having this conversation. Is it automatics? Is it playoffs this season? So yeah, it just goes to show what a good job Lee Bell is doing. Just before we finish that, then, we just mentioned Tom Booth. Henry, we were talking about changing the goalkeeper. Man of the match yesterday, I think, at the stadium. Whilst I agree he had a good game, he wouldn't have been my man of the match. I think I would have given it to Luke Offord. James, would it have been Offord, or is there anyone else we've missed out from yesterday?
I think Offord had a quality game. Nev obviously had a good game. Just wanted to give a bit of props to Aaron Rowe because he was excellent as well. I've been really skeptical of Aaron Rowe in the past few months and really not sure on him. I think some of his decision making and sometimes he doesn't look after the ball at all. Can be occasionally selfish. So I've not been sure on Aaron Rowe at all. But yesterday, he really came into his own. I don't know if it was the type of game where he seemed to have a bit of space and a bit of time to be able to have a few touches on the ball. But I thought he had an excellent game, looked after the ball, drew fouls and picked some good passes. And he was moved about the pitch as well. He played on the wing, then sort of dropped into a number 10 at times. So, yeah, big shout for Aaron Rowe. He's sort of coming into his own, whether that's a result of some of the coaching he's getting. Or just playing every week, but yeah, he's really doing well recently.
He's got better every week, I think, Rowe, hasn't he? Every week that he's played, and he showed some really nice touches yesterday. He's actually got really good feet. He surprised me how good his feet were, actually. He didn't look that sharp the first few times that we saw, but yesterday he showed some nice, neat touches to get out of a few tight situations. And just going back to obviously Offord as well, I think he's performing superbly in that defensive midfield role. I just worry about him and Thomas in that midfield too, because I worry sometimes we struggle to progress the ball at the pitch with those two in there. I think they're both very similar in terms of how they play. They're both quite limited in terms of progressing the ball at the pitch, and they'll play the way they're facing. They won't probably twist and turn and sort of look for that progressive pass as much. And that's what I think sometimes we're lacking in there. And I think we were lacking yesterday to try and break through Swindon and take control of the game a bit more. So defensively, you can't fault either of their efforts in there. And Thomas did get forward a bit more, to be fair to him, after I think the substitutes were made. But I just worry how we progress the ball at the pitch as well with both of them in those roles.
The Gareth Southgate double pivot conundrum returns to Gresty Road. Okay, right. I think I'll finish there. So what we'll do next is we'll have a little look at the game coming up on Saturday. But first, we'll hear from the women's team who are in cup action against Carlisle United on Sunday.
Matt, six goals, clean sheet, must be happy, boy.
Yeah, we're happy. We're happy to go through the cup. We play some really good football at times, and it was great to see players get minutes on the pitch and try and have an impact. Players that maybe haven't been getting the minutes they feel they deserve. We gave a lot of opportunities today, and the girls have done really well. So yeah, overall, really, really happy. Carlisle, they fought to the bitter end, but you have to beat what's put in front of you, and we did that.
Eve Edwards, she's done a lot of moving about position-wise this season. She's back up top, where she wants to be. Four goals. How pleased are you with her?
Really pleased. Em's absolute top drawer. She works her socks off every week. And like you rightly say, she's played a number of roles for us because that's what the team's needed. Her versatility is like a real strength of hers. You may not see it like that, but it is. And this was a game where we felt like we could give her an opportunity in a what is her strongest position. And, we always say, once you get your opportunity, take it, and she'll be really disappointed if she's not in the starting 11 in that position next week after scoring four. She was class. She probably could have had a couple more as well.
The football today was fantastic. Is that something you've been working on? Is that something you're trying getting out the players?
Yeah, obviously we work on it. I think we were probably, it was fantastic in parts. It'd probably been a little bit
all
nice
right,
there.
All right.
You know, we got a little bit predictable, like a lot of the time when you're playing against a team that's, you know, they're sitting deep and they're not really being threatening towards us. It got a little bit predictable and we were going from the defensive third to the attacking third when it could have gone into midfield, drawn the opponents out to free up the space in behind. And we probably didn't do that enough. But then on the occasions we did do that, we got lots of joy from it. So probably slightly disappointed we didn't try doing that more. But yeah, don't want to make it a negative. It's a really strong performance. And we worked on switching play. I don't know whether it looked to you like it came out. We were quite happy with the way we moved the ball across the pitch to try and get the opponents to shift. We felt like we could move the ball quicker than they could travel. So that's something we worked on a lot this week. And we scored a couple of goals from build-up play in wide areas. So that would probably say that it's worked well.
Obviously, you know, we've scored 6 goals, but the energy level's never dropped. Is that a credit to the group? Is that something that they've got about them?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we spoke about that we feel with Carlisle being playing in the league below us, that they would the intensity of that league would be less, with all due respect. You know, they would do the things that we can do. They're a good team, but as you move up the football pyramid, you know, the intensity increases every league. And we felt like if we allowed our intensity to drop, then it would be a relatively even game. And the advantage we had over them is that we can do the things that they can do, but much, much quicker. And it's on you as the team higher up the leagues in a cup tie to bring that intensity. It's not for them to bring, it's up to us to bring it. And we did today. And we benefited from having a strong bench, which Carlisle unfortunately didn't for them. We could move things around a little bit and lots of options, which we've not always had. You know, we've been in places where Carlisle were today. We've been there and we've seen that. So... and we picked up every first ball, second ball, third ball. So it was quite, you know, it was quite continuous. You know, we were always in possession, always trying to make things happen.
Cheers, Matt.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Right. Henry, I'll start with you. It's just the one game coming up this week. It's Barrow away. Now, I don't really mind Barrow. I've got nothing against them. But I do feel we owe them one after the game in December, where fair play to them. They came to us. We're doing well in the table. But I think they were sort of a bit giddy about beating us when we were down to about 8 players. So I feel like some retribution is on the cards.
Yeah, Barrow weirdly really got under my skin, actually, after that result. And I've been looking out for their results ever since. And really, yeah, I kind of really want them to lose all of a sudden. It's obviously great for them that they're so high up the table, and that's us. We're the team that are kind of surpassing expectation and up near the top of the table. So yeah, I really, really want to get on back over them. And to be fair, we're going back into this fixture in a completely different place than, you know, when we played them a few weeks ago, and that is the most exciting thing for us. You know, they've not had the best of results recently. They've drawn quite a few times. Wrexham put four past them. So, you know, we're going into it with a much stronger bench. We've had some good results, obviously, this, you know, the start of this year. So it's a good time for us to play them at their place. And hopefully, you know, we can take 3 points and go ahead of them in the league.
Yeah, I understand Pete Wilde's serving a touchline ban as well. So, you know, little things like that make a difference. Maybe not a Barrow, because he'll probably just be sat 2 rows behind, but yeah, you know, little things, we might just be able to push it. We're in a different position, like Henry said.
Yeah, Barrow, I think, still unbeaten at home this season. Is that right? I think. I don't think they've lost at home.
We've done it to Mansfield. Barrow, we're coming for them.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's a good challenge, you know, to be able to put to the players. Look, we've ended Mansfield's run. We've gone there and beaten them. They're the best team in the league. So why can't we go and do it to Barrow? I had a quick look this morning. They've only won one of the last 5, but they did have Stockport and Wrexham in there, so they have had a few tougher games. I think they drew yesterday. But yeah, I think they caught us on that night. I think that was probably, in terms of the squad depth, I think that was the worst sort of night we had in terms of who was available. And there was players playing through illness as well. But we've now got a much fitter squad, a bit more depth, back on a good run of form. So I think we've got to go there and look to try and win.
Yeah, they did draw yesterday because they were my pick for the last man standing. So that's me 1 week in and straight out. James, does your perfect Saturday next week, is it Elliot Nevitt running George Ray ragged, getting a red card for Ray and a 3-0 win for the Alex?
Well, that just sounds absolutely bliss. And yeah, I couldn't think of anyone better than Nev to do it. Yeah, George Ray is obviously the pantomime villain here, and you want something to happen to him. And hopefully he doesn't do it again or nick a goal or something like that. But yeah, I think this could be the start of another odd mini rivalry, like the likes of Swindon and Oxford. Why not, eh? Let's add another one into the mix.
All right, James, I'll stick with you then. What's the score going to be Saturday?
2-1 crew.
Henry?
1-0 to the Alex.
And Tom?
I'm going to go 1-1.
Oh, you've ruined the clean sweep there, Tom. No problem. Right, so I spoke again to Stuart to see what had changed at Barrow since that game in December. Hi, Stuart. Welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back on.
Not a problem. So it wasn't that long ago when you were back on to preview the game at Gresty Road. It ended in a 3-1 Barrow win. What were your thoughts on that game from the Barrow perspective?
I thought it was a very important win because obviously at the time ourselves were sort of two of the teams that were like chasing the top three. We were coming up to run the games over Christmas where we played Stockport, Wrexham. You know, we needed it was a game we probably needed points from. When you looked at the teams, obviously yourselves, you'll know better than me, but you did have a weaker squad out that night, so it was a game that you looked at and thought, yeah, it's a chance for points here. And yeah, I know obviously there's been a lot of discussion about George Ray from the crew side about the penalty. I mean, me myself, if a defender puts their hands in the back, you're sort of asking for a decision. I understand obviously the dramatic side of it that the crew fans didn't like, but when you watch it back, I don't know. It's one of them. Your defender's probably stupid for doing it, but you see it not given hundreds of times. So yeah, it's one of them. But yeah, it was a massive win for us to set up the Christmas period. So yeah, very good win.
Yeah, just a slight sidebar before going to our next question. The fact he's a Crewe Academy lad, I think, is the reason why, me personally, it definitely rubbed me up the wrong way, him deciding he was Superman for a short spell. Right, so it's only been, I think, 4 weeks or so since that game. What's happened with Barrow in the season since then?
Chucked a lot of leads away. We had sort of over Christmas, we played Stockport, which before the game you just taken a draw, no problem. But we went 2-0 up after about half an hour, ended up drawing. We then played Accrington on a Friday, went 1-0 up in absolutely horrendous conditions, as bad a weather as I've ever seen at Barrow for 90 minutes. The pitch was horrendous, it was raining all game, blowing. And I said at half time, A, this game could easily be off, and B, whoever gets a lead, you get a lead and you win. We got the lead again, only drew. We played Wrexham as well, went to Wrexham, went 1-0 up after 5 minutes. And then, to be fair, we had David Worrall got a head injury, but there was a 15 minute delay, so it's 15 minutes injury time. They scored three times in 15 minutes of injury time in the first half. We ended up getting beat 4-1. I do think Wrexham will win the league now, to be honest. That day when they had Stephen Fletcher playing, they had Mullin playing, they had James McLean playing. I have a Wrexham sporting friend who tells me George Evans is their best player he was playing. When all of them were on the pitch, I mean, you know, the championship players, premiership players even in Fletcher and McLean's case in the past, you know, and the quality just showed. So yeah, it was disheartening again. We'd taken a lead and we got beat. But like I say, for me personally now, I'd be surprised if Wrexham don't win the league now, personally. And then again, yesterday we went to Sutton again away from home before the game. New manager, you take a point. But again, we went 1-0 up. They scored just before half time, went 2-1 down. And then we managed to get back and we did get a point. But again, you know, it's a lot of games where when you're taking these leads, you've got to see at least some of them out. You know, a point against Stockport, it's good if you beat Accrington. But then when you only draw against Accrington, suddenly you've got 2 points there from two home games when you've led in both of them. And I mean, me personally, I've got to the point now where I do think, to be fair, yourselves have picked up, but I do think the top three is probably the top three. Mansfield are having a little bit of a blip. But I do just think that top three now will probably end up the top three. And I'm sort of looking now to 8th place to see what a buffer we've got, you know, for the playoffs now. I don't like saying this as a Barrow fan because we used to be negative, but I do think we will make the playoffs. If nothing else, we've got a lot of run of home games in. I think it's March, we play a lot of home games. So we look at the rest of the fixtures now. We've played Wrexham twice, we've played Stockport twice, we've got Mansfield again on the last day. So in theory, the fixtures now should be a bit kinder coming up, you know, and hopefully we should cement that playoff place.
All right. We are halfway through January now. Has there been any players coming in? Anyone going out since we last saw you?
We've literally had a striker, Courtney Duffus, who barely plays, who's gone on loan to Hartlepool. And to be fair, Pete Wild said, even before January, he said, unless there was some ridiculous offer for one of our players, he said there'd be nothing in and nothing out. Because the signing of Dom Telford, which we made very late on in August and was completely unexpected, was effectively January's signings. You know, that's where January's budget went. It was just one of them. Pete Wild and Ian Wood have both said it came up and it was just like, oh, this is such a good opportunity. We've got to do this. So they looked and effectively brought January's budget forward to accommodate that. And like I said, Pete Wild keeps saying, unless, you know, there's a ridiculous bid for one of our players, no one will be going. Obviously, Duffus has barely played, so he's out on loan. The other one who barely plays these days is Jed Garner. Again, whether he would go out on loan, but then now you probably need to keep him just in case of injury, unless you've got another striker on loan from a Premier League club, Championship club, or something like that. Yeah, I'd be very surprised if there's any movement, to be honest, but, you know, maybe minimal at anything.
Okay, Stuart, one of my last questions was going to be, is it going to be top three playoffs or just outside the playoffs? But I think you've answered that. I'm right in assuming it's going to be playoffs for Barrow this year, in your opinion.
Hopefully. Like I say, it's always ingrained in Barrow fans' DNA to be negative. But yeah, when you look at the rest of the fixtures, it's a scary thought, to be honest, but it will be disappointing from where we are now if we don't make the playoffs. You know, even the teams below, there doesn't seem to be anyone yet this year sort of making that late charge. Bradford looked like they might do when they got the new manager, but they dropped off again a little bit. You know, usually this time there's a team and you're thinking, oh no, here they come, someone's coming charging up to grab that last playoff place. But at the minute, they don't seem to be that. So yeah, hopeful, very hopeful, rather than completely confident of playoffs.
All right, last question then. What's the score going to be on Saturday?
Well, at the minute, if you go on the Barrow Forum, the game won't be played because people have called it off already because of a frozen pitch and snow, and which a week in advance is a bold claim, but there you go. If it does get played, which hopefully it was, I will. I would, to be honest, it's one of them games again where you sort of take a draw and keep crew at arm's length, the form they've been in, you know, keep them below us. But yeah, at home, hopefully we might just pinch a 1-0.
Okay, Stuart, thank you so much for your time. All right, then. To finish off this week, there's a couple of things. Firstly, last man standing. I just mentioned it before we heard from Stuart the Barrow fan. It officially kicked off this week. Crawley, Mansfield and Barrow did not win. So lots of people, myself included, crashed out at the first hurdle. We had people go through. They had backed either Crewe, Wrexham, Stockport or Harrogate. Those of you that backed Crewe, well done. You are certainly much more confident than I am. From a pod perspective, I had a little look. We had 11 people that have been on as panelists crash out at the first hurdle, but 6 went through to week 2. So a mixed bag. Well done if you took part and you are into week 2. I am hoping you all go out together now and it becomes a rollover to give me my chance to buy myself back in. Secondly, this is just another notice. Last week, something strange happened. Mark mentioned the Luke Murphy podcast that had a load of listeners on the Monday, which took it past Alex Morris's podcast into our third most listened episode behind the Dave Artell and Lee Bell editions. So I can only assume that there's people here listening that have started since we did a lot of our player pods. So this week, I'm going to make a little push for Matt Tootle. It is only 2 listens away from becoming our latest 4-figure podcast. I do also think it's one of our best. So if you're relatively new, didn't hear Matt Tootle, let's get him over 1,000 listens because that would be superb. And if you haven't listened to them, scroll down our feed. There's some fantastic ex-player pods we've done over the last few years. Lastly then, for James, Tom and Henry, the transfer window. We're about halfway through it. We've said Lewis Lee looks like a fairly good addition, although it's sort of only based on what we've seen and read so far. Is it as crucial now, James, getting people in with players returning? The team seems to have found its winning formula again. Are you as desperate to get bodies over the line in January as you were before?
Not so much now Lewis Lee's in. However, there's a couple of factors which will affect that. One of which is if Conor O'Riordan's moving on or not. If he is, I'd like a centre half brought in till the end of the season, just for that added bit of depth and flexibility. Do we need a central midfielder? Another one? Perhaps not. With Taberner coming back, we've obviously got Lee, flexibility on offered. I'd be tempted to leave that. And I think if I was Lee Bell and the management team, I think in the position that we're in, I'd want another attacking option, whether that's a winger or a number 10. I think I'd want that little bit extra just to sort of push us along. But by no means desperate now. But we're in a good position, aren't we? You know, players coming back, as you say. We've got Lee in, so we're not threadbare. But I just think there's an opportunity there for us to, you know, take a little bit of a risk. And hopefully the chairman will back Bell.
Henry, do you agree with what James has just said there? A defender in for a Reardon and then maybe a midfielder or attacking midfielder. No mention of a goalkeeper, I mentioned from James. Is that something you agree with?
Yeah, I mean, James summed it up perfectly there, to be fair. I think before the window or a few weeks ago, certainly I would have been thinking, you know, we need a few different players to come in. But actually, I mean, centre midfield, the sort of player we need is a player like Joel Taberner. So hopefully he's not too far away. The goalkeeper situation is interesting because, you know, with Davis not playing at all now, surely he then goes back and gets loaned out to a different team. Then who do we have as backup for Tom Booth? You know, should he A, go for a sticky patch or get injured? So I think we will need to find someone. The only issue is if they go for another Premier League third choice goalkeeper and he happens to be pretty decent, you know, that then benches Tom Booth again, and his development, you know, is happening right before our eyes now, and he's playing well, he's making good saves, you know, he made a match winning save really yesterday. So I'd like to see Booth carry on playing, really. So it's a tough one. We need an almost a backup keeper, which for the loan market, there'd be no point really having that, you know. So it is a tough one. Can Davis just sit on the bench for the rest of the season? I'm not entirely sure if it will work that way, to be honest.
For me, bringing a goalkeeper in, unless we're spending decent money, which we're not going to, bringing a keeper in on loan is probably just as much as a risk as bringing Davis or a Conquo or Beadle. It might pay off, it might not. I think I'd prefer to put my finances elsewhere and just run with Booth, take the hits where it doesn't go as well as we want. These things happen. They happen to experience goalkeepers as well. Yeah, that's my thinking.
Tom, what's on your January shopping list?
If White doesn't come back, I think we might still be a little bit light for a midfielder. With Powell out for the rest of the season, Taberner now looking February, but it keeps getting pushed back every time we hear an injury update about him. And I think we're still just missing that creative spark in midfield. I'm not 100% sure what type of player Lee is. From what I've read, he looks more to be the defensive midfield type role than the attacking midfield type role. So I still think we need a creator in there. So that'd be where I'd probably be prioritising first. And again, I think it was James or Henry that said another winger sort of attacking option as well would be good off the bench, just to sort of keep things fresh. If we get, because we're okay at the moment, but we know that those front three or four have had quite a lot of injuries and have been injured this season. So if one of them goes down, then suddenly we're looking light again on the bench for options. Obviously got Holochek to come back in January, hopefully. But yeah, it is looking a lot better. And if O'Riordan goes as well, I do think we need another centre-half probably, because Williams seems to also get injured quite frequently, it looks like. So we can't rely on him, say, filling in at centre-half if O'Riordan goes. But yeah, a couple of players to get in. But we just need to be careful about not getting too many players in, because it doesn't upset the dynamic of the squad. You know, I think we've got a good core nucleus of first-team players there, and we don't want to sort of bring in any bad eggs or any people that, say, upset that relationship that the players have already got, and then people are thinking, oh, am I going to be under pressure for my place? Am I now out of the team because this lad's come in? So, yeah, I don't think Bell wants to overdo it. Because we've got, as we've shown over December, even with 12, 13 fit players, we've still got enough to go out and grind out results and put a good team out there. So I think we need to be wary about not upsetting things too much.
It's a good point that, Tom, when you think about the sort of players that are available in January, they either can't get in the team or they've got some sort of issue. So, yeah, we do need to be wary of that, not upsetting the dressing room. Yeah, it's a good point.
We did have, was it Janiel Bennett training with us as well at one stage? So he is that kind of attacking player that we're talking about, really, that can play out wide or play through the middle. But it was quite a while ago that it was announced that he was training with us. So I'm assuming that, you know, they're not looking to take that forward at all.
He's gone now. Yeah, he's not with us at the minute.
He would be good. You know, that kind of a player would be a good addition to have for the squad, really, to just bolster that attack right through to the end of the season.
I think it sort of speaks volumes, though, that we didn't sign him up when we were going through that horribly threadbare patch. If he was available and fit, and we still didn't think that was worth however much, you would have thought he'd be fairly cheap in the situation he's in. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I like Bennett when he was here, but yeah, maybe it's not meant to be.
I think it might be just one sort of inconsistent winger too many. You know, we're talking about Rowe coming on leaps and bounds at the stage that we were at there. He wasn't really producing. And Shiloh Tracy sort of seems to have stopped producing. Let's talk about the one player that's left this week then. James, I'll stick with you. Regan Griffiths announced that he's had his contract mutually terminated. I'd say it's a shame, but it's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, we hear about his attitude, and he's a great trainer, and I don't doubt that for a minute. He seems like a really good guy and a really good guy to have around the club. But it's just a shame that he's not quite made it in terms of quality. You know, he's had some good games over the years, but vast majority is not quite shown enough to sort of get in that team consistently and push on and be an asset to us, whether that's playing or in terms of future marketability. So, yeah, it's a shame. It's best for both parties, isn't it? And hopefully he goes on to have a good career, wherever that may be.
Yeah, he returned almost unannounced from Boreham Wood, didn't he, in December? The club didn't announce it, and he just sort of slipped back in. So I don't know what happened there, whether he wasn't getting any game time. So I didn't particularly closely follow what he was up to. But I wonder where he'll end up, because if he was struggling to get in a Boreham Wood side and that didn't work out for him there, you think, where is he going to end up? It's a shame. He seemed a nice lad. And he obviously worked hard and tried his best, but he wasn't up to the level. And it's obviously Bell trying to sort of clear out as much of that end of the Artel deadwood as he can. I think before, you know, running up to the summer. But the big question is, how will Chris Long and Elliot Neville get to work now?
I think that's exactly it. He is a player that's associated with a very difficult time for the club, isn't he, on the pitch? And I think seeing that he had been let go was almost symbolic in a way that it's like we have kind of well and truly moved on from those, you know, kind of dark days really on the pitch. So I think it's obviously, it's always disappointing to see a player let go like that. But I do think, you know, it'll free up hopefully some wages to spend in January. And, you know, we can look to make a positive addition to the team.
Out of interest, if Conor O'Riordan moved on, would anybody be interested in recalling Billy Sass Davis?
No.
Shakes of the head, and I'm in agreement.
Absolutely not. No. I'd rather see Nathan Robinson play a couple more games if we're really struggling than bring Sass Davis back.
Yeah, I think it's the style of the play that Billy Sass Davis, I think it might be unfair, but I'm going to say, doesn't offer us. You know, he is a 1980s ball-winning defender. He's not really a 2020s Kralix ball-playing defender. I think that's the biggest thing he's got against him, which isn't really fair because that's just, you know, how he plays football, but it's the reality, I'm afraid.
There is a Grimsby team, though, that conceded 5 goals yesterday that might be looking for a centre-half. So I wonder if he's still in the phone book of Mr. Artel.
I've got a goalkeeper if they're looking to stop scoring or conceding 5 goals that they are more than welcome to take as well, that might know the manager. But that's probably for a different day. Okay, so we've talked about like the ingoings and outgoings in January. James, just to finish off, do you want to sort of give us your thoughts on 6 months further down the road, summer, people out of contract at the club?
Yeah, I was just thinking how the club might be approaching potentially extending deals on a few of the players which are running down their contracts at the minute. We've got Rio, Luke Offord, Thomas, and then Chris Long, Courtney Baker-Richardson and Elliot Nevett. And just looking at them, it's probably 6 of the best performers in the squad this season. Whether that's a coincidence or not, I'll let you decide. But it's just whether the club will be looking at that now. I certainly would be. And who the other guys might prioritise out of those six?
I think Adebisi's got a year. Is he 23 still this year? So he's still got a year. So someone would have to pay for him if he wanted him this summer. So it depends whether someone wants to come in and offer money for him. I mean, if he carries on playing like he has done, you know, that might not be surprising to see if we get some money for him, but at least he wouldn't go for free. Because I'm sure we are offering him a new deal or have offered him a new deal. Offered, we know, will go. I'm sure that's not in doubt with anyone. You know, good luck to him. With Long, again, I would probably offer him another deal. I think we've done better this season in terms of managing him with his injuries. Obviously, he has still had a couple of knocks, but he's getting sort of taken off a little bit earlier in games to sort of, you know, protect him a bit more. So we're trying another year out of him, whether he'd still be up for that. Nevitt, I would also definitely offer another deal to. I think he's shown ability that even if he did step up to League One, I think with some of the goals that he scored and his all-round play, I would feel confident of having him in League One. Baker Richardson, I'm not so sure on. I think he's more limited as a footballer than Nevitt. His feet are not the best. If you want someone in the box to score goals for you, I think Baker Richardson could probably do that. But Nevitt's just a more all-round forward. And I think especially if we did go up, I'd be looking in the market for somebody else. I think he's a League Two centre-forward, Baker Richardson, for me. And I think that's about his level. So, yeah, I think there's a few decisions still to be made, but I wouldn't be rushing into any of them just yet, I don't think.
I think getting Long to sign that one-year contract for this season has proved to be so, so important. And it's quite rare, really, to have a player who's as good as Long come to the end of his contract and then carry on and rejoin for another year. So that's been huge for us. Whether he would do that again, I'm really not sure. Is it a case of he's having sort of one last hurrah, he's trying to have a really, really positive season, play plenty of games, score loads of goals. You know, if he takes the Alex up with it, then, you know, obviously he'd be really happy with that. But is he kind of using this year to put himself in the shop window and you know, find another club to go to? If we went up to League One, I would obviously be very happy to keep hold of him and Nevitt as well. Like I say, Tom, I think you bang on there. I really like Baker Richardson, but there are some elements of his game that let him down. And it's when he's kind of in the middle of the pitch, the ball comes to him and he sort of loses control of it, even though it seems like, you know, he's got plenty of time to take it under and you know, play it out wide or get forward. So yeah, it's important to keep Nevitt. I think he has really developed for us and he'll continue to score plenty of goals for us. So of the attackers, Long, I would love to keep, but I don't think he'll stay. Nevitt, I think we can be confident to keep him and I'd be happy to have him. But I think CBR will probably go this time round.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for the club. Obviously, with us not knowing if we're going to be in League One and League Two. But I think all three of Long, CBR, Nev, either 27, 28, something like that, aren't they? So maybe thinking about one bigger payday before they sort of start slowing down a bit. I don't know. But yeah, something to think about.
Yeah, I'm just sort of extrapolating what I can guess about their personalities. I don't know any of them. But I think if we look at Chris Long, I think he was limited in his offers last year because of how long he spent out injured last season and also seasons before that. So I think that worked in our favour for Chris Long this year because we didn't have Chris Long last year. I think that was why he signed for another year. I do think, though, you know, that he's quite settled at the club. I don't know whether he would consider another year, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think Elliot Nevitt probably would. I think if he looks at it objectively, the progress he's made as a player since he's come to Crewe is exponential. So I think if he had any sort of sense, he would. And I think I agree with Tom and Henry about CBR. I think I have quite good a lot of trust in Lee Bell and also Josh Kennard, who seems to be in charge of a lot of these recruitments. I think they can probably find someone better. Definitely if we're in League One, probably if we're in League Two as well than CBR. And that is said with a lot of respect for what he's done for us as a striker at the club. There are stuff that he does that does frustrate me. I think one of these things, and I was thinking about this when we were talking about Nevitt before, is if we look at the goals that they've scored, Long's on 9, CBR's on 8, Nevitt's on 7. If I was to ask all three of you, and if I was to ask Crewe fans, who's your favourite out of those three, I think you'd all give me the same answer, and I think it would be the one that scored the least.
I'm a massive Long fan. I must admit, I really, really like what he's done this season.
You ruined my theory there, Henry.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I knew that you didn't want me to say it at all, but I am a bit of a Chris Long fanboy. I think the way that he's kind of taken this team this season, he's decided that he wants to be a real leader. And I don't know, he's shown this like real maturity, and I think he really, really helps to push us forward. Baker Richardson does this as well, to be fair. He's a proper leader as well, but there's something about Long that he really wants to just get stuck in for the team, and he's kind of trying to bring everyone up to his level this season. I've really enjoyed that. But yeah, obviously, Nevitt is a complete legend, and that is the answer that you wanted me to give, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I like Long, but I think he's also quite selfish in how he plays. And I think a lot of how he plays is, and maybe this is overly harsh, but I think a lot of how he plays is looking at what is best for him rather than what is best for the team. And he's thinking, oh, if I score a 30-yard worldie now and it'll be on Sky Sports tonight, it might give me a better chance of getting a deal next year. And I think that's how he thinks of things. And I think he does think he's above crew. He does think he's above League Two. And maybe he is, but I don't think he's shown that massively in his career so far with the injuries and the spells that he's had. So on that basis, I wouldn't be massively upset if he left. I think he's a good player, but again, I think he's quite self-centred in how he plays, and I think we could find someone who's more of a team player. And out of those three, yeah, Nevitt's probably my favourite. I just think he's got pretty much nearly everything as a forward. He can hold the ball up. He's strong. He can head it. He can finish with both feet. When he's got a man one-on-one, you've seen like the goal against Derby, you know, he created half a yard for himself and his finish was excellent. And I don't think Baker Richardson could do that. And I don't know whether Long would do that. Long would have probably hit it over the bar from 25 yards before that point. So I think Nevitt, and as you said, he's come on leaps and bounds in the last 18 months, and I really like watching him. And he's someone I could see in a Dario Grady team, you know, up front like a Rob Hulse type Dean Ashton striker, who's got a bit of everything about him. He can finish, he can hold the ball up, he can run in behind. And I really like him. I think we need to keep holding for next season. And if he keeps improving, he's someone we could sell again, potentially in the future. But he's obviously got that desire because he's come from the non-league and he's got that desire to keep getting better, to keep proving himself. And you can see that in how he plays. He loves a scrap, and I'd hate to mark him because you can see when they're contesting balls, he's elbowing the defender, he's pushing him, he's trying to get half yard. I'd hate playing against him. But it works. He's not fouling them. He's just using his body well. And that's something that I don't think Baker Richardson always does as well as he could do, because he seems to win less headers than Nevitt, but he's smaller than that. He's bigger than him. So, Nevitt just, his all-round game, I think he's turned into a proper striker and a proper footballer.
Yeah, just to finish off, Rio, I think he's been probably one of my players of the season. I think, you know, he's hampered by the fact that Mickey exists. But I would look at maybe getting him sold on whilst he's playing this well and seeing if we can make as much money as possible. If he's not going to sign a contract, you know, let's not fall down that trap again. And Luke Offord, if we're promoted, offer him whatever he wants. Give him that centre mid role, give him the captain's armband for 10 years and keep him at the club. And also, just to finish off, if you're a Premier League club, there's a Cardiff defender who is outstanding and you might want to put a £10 million bid in for him in this January transfer window. That would be helpful as well. James, Henry, Tom, thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks for having us, Hugh.
Thank you, as ever, for listening. We'll be back next week to look at the Barrow game. Until then, goodbye. Bomb, 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 bomb